Good morning. How about that worship, huh? Praise God, right? Has anybody ever heard the phrase WWJD? What would Jesus do? Does anybody in here have something with them? Maybe a Bible cover, a keychain, t-shirt, some underoos that say WWJD? I don't know about the underoos, but I just threw that in there. But now, you've seen it. You've seen it on t-shirts. You've seen it on bumper stickers, pencils, regular stickers. There's a movie that's called WWJD. This question in this form was born in Topeka, Kansas in the 1890s. A minister named Charles Sheldon coined the phrase, making it the centerpiece in an attempt to hold his congregation's attention. Now, I said this form of the question has been around a little bit more than a century. However, we are taught in several places in the Bible what I would say was the first form of this question. Jesus himself sets and is the example that we as Christians strive to become more like him as we grow in our faith. His teachings throughout the Gospels provide for us an example on how we should walk and how we should talk to bring him glory. The Apostle Paul begins Ephesians chapter 5 with this: therefore, be imitators of Christ as beloved children. And he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he writes, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. The Bible and the teachings within it are our book of directions and the answer to the question, WWJD. I have on many occasions asked myself that question. More of a check of myself, or it could be an act of accountability from the Holy Spirit. In both, it's a reminder that we are set apart by Christ in his likeness to be his hands and feet, so that through you, people may come to know him. So why do we use this phrase as a self-check so often? What is it in us that has ourselves asking that question? The answer is God in us. He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and to lead us and remind us that we are here to bring him glory in thought, word, and deed. My wife reminds me sometimes to check my heart or to check my motives. Check it against what? What Mike wants? What the world wants? No. Check it against what Christ wants from us and who we are to become in him. So, WWJD, what would Jesus do, is a pretty good reminder for us to check ourselves before acting on impulse or responding to someone or something. So today I want to take it one step further. And by no means am I trying to diminish the importance of self-checking yourself with what Jesus would do in a situation. Today I'd like to look at what Christ has already done for us. What I'd like to look at is more of a cause and an effect. Cause and effect is a relationship between events or things where one is the result of the other or others. This is a combination of action and reaction. So an event happens, and from it there is a response or an effect because of that event. Sometimes an event could have a great impact on a person, and sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's bad. That event could mold a person into who they are today. Today's scripture will illustrate for us an event that has impacted each and every one of us here today. And my hope today is that your take home would be that we would make the scripture shared today enough. Enough to sustain us and move us, not only out of obedience, but move us naturally in a direction of becoming more Christ-like. Please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:21. And as you're doing that, I'll share something with you. I got everything in here written down as 1 Corinthians 5:21. So I was checking my Bible today, and I'm like, I'd read it several times in here during the week, and I'm like, wait a minute, there is not 21 verses in 1 Corinthians 5:21. So I got it worked out before the service. So after you open there, please stand. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Father God, be glorified today as we worship you in song, in giving, in fellowship, and in this message. Thank you, God, for who you are and for what you have done and continue to do for us. Amen. Please be seated. So what has Christ already done for us? It's right here in today's scripture. For our sake, for us. But who are we? Maybe the better question would be, who were we before Christ? I think we need to look at that before we look at who we are in Christ. Were we good people before Christ? Did we make the right decisions based on what? What were we basing our decisions on? What the world wanted, what we wanted, what we thought we needed? Now I can speak for myself only. I was all about me. I was all about Mike. I didn't worry about how my choices affected others or even affected myself. I'd get through it. I had it together, and for the most part, Mike was in control. And when things started to spin out of control, I could just move on or I'd party through it. And I heard a lot of people in my teens and 20s. One of them, sitting out here, is my wife, Faith. Back in, I think it was 1988 or 1989, I had broken up with a girlfriend. And I started spending time with a girl with the prettiest blue eyes I've ever seen. Little did I know at that time that her beauty was much deeper than skin deep. Our time together was short, as I went back to my girlfriend after a couple weeks, and I didn't even worry about if I hurt Faith or not. You see, I was all about me, what I wanted. Well, as God would have it, Faith and I started dating again in 1995. We got married in 97, and this November, we'll celebrate 21 years of marriage. Thanks. I have no explanation for why she gave me a second chance. I didn't deserve it the way I treated her before. But God had other plans. You see, she started bringing me to church. And I became interested in this God thing. What's this all about? I started to teach Sunday school shortly after that. I started to lead the men's group. And then in September 2001, I went to St. Paul, Minnesota for a Promise Keepers event. And there I witnessed my first altar call. Hundreds of men answering the call to give their lives to Christ. I could not stay sitting down. I stood up. I said, where do I get that? and I found myself running to the floor and answered the call for Christ. To me, there's no explanation why God would want anything to do with a self-centered, egotistical sinner like me, and to have him sacrifice so much for me to become his righteousness. So I ask you to stop and think, who were you before you came to know Christ? The Bible's very clear on who we once were. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "You were dead in your sins and trespasses." We were dead men walking. We were in the world and of this world. It says we were by nature children of wrath, and we were like the rest of mankind. We were lost. I know I was lost, and if left to me, I would still be lost. Now, I chose Ephesians 2 to illustrate who we were and who we are without Christ in our lives, and the effect that sin can have on our lives before surrendering to God, and also the effects God will have in our lives if we just surrender ourselves and trust in Him. You see, God had a plan for me to use me for His glory. If you would have told me back then in my BC days that I would be teaching Sunday school, maybe leading a men's group, leading a study, or preaching on Sunday mornings, well, to be perfectly honest, my response would have been inappropriate to share with you here today and now. But now it's a joy to serve Him. Well, that's more than you needed to know about me here today, so let's get on with the sermon. Let's look at the cause or event that happened. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin." God took Him, His one and only Son, the only sinless human to ever walk this world, and the only one that ever will, and placed the sin of all mankind on Him. He took perfection and placed imperfection upon Him. How's that for a trade? I'm pretty sure Jesus drew short straw. Or did He? What led to this event or cause? Was it sin? The fall of man in the garden? Was it a slow fade? Just a little piece here and there until you're knee-deep in sin? Was it a tidal wave of bad decisions in an ever-changing world that preaches tolerance over truth? Why would Christ take this deal? Or why would God make this deal? The answer is for our sake, that we might become the righteousness of God. Righteousness is defined as the quality of being morally right or justifiable. And I would say, personally speaking, that I could obtain righteousness based on my own good choices and being able to justify my own actions. But how can we obtain God's righteousness? How can we, as humans, obtain true and perfect righteousness justified only by God? There is only one way to obtain God's righteousness, and the answer is found in today's scripture. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. By the blood of Christ on the cross, Jesus exchanged our sin for His perfect righteousness, so that we can one day stand before God and He will see not our sin, He will see us as righteous. He will treat us as righteous, but only on the account of what Jesus has done for us. Thank you, Jesus. So let's get back to the question I had earlier. What has Jesus done for you? We've heard a few testimonies in the last couple months. Awesome, awesome, awesome testimonies on how Jesus has changed a life. And that's good stuff. It's something tangible. It's something that you can look at and share with others. Could be something that people who don't know God, they can even wrap their brains around when they see the change in you and you talk about the change in you and you point out, there's no explanation for this other than God because I'm unable to do this by myself. Sharing that you are a sinner in need of a Savior and that through the work on the cross and by the blood of Jesus, you have been washed clean and forgiven of all your sins. Amen? How's that make you feel? Does it make you feel like you're part of something bigger? Does it make you feel like you're part of something better? Does it make you feel like you have a purpose? I would say yes to all those things. In fact, these things are the effect, are the result of the cause. Made for our sake by God through Christ on the cross. When God was working this sermon out on me, one word that kept coming to me, and that word was the word enough. Make his work or sacrifice on the cross enough. Enough to love, enough to give, enough to surrender, enough to forgive, enough to learn, enough to praise, enough to worship, and enough to serve, etc., etc., etc. Make his work on the cross enough. You see, God was impressing upon me that his work on the cross is the reason enough that we are here to praise him on Sunday mornings. His work on the cross is reason enough that we bring an offering to his church each and every Sunday. His work on the cross is reason enough to build each other up as families should. And his work on the cross is reason enough for us to serve. I have been blessed to serve this church and its members as a deacon and now as an elder on the leadership team. We have been through a lot together, and not always have we agreed on everything. But through prayer and talking things through, we have made decisions first for the glory of God and secondly for the business of this church. And next week, we'll be switching things up on Sunday with Sunday school beginning at 9 a.m., followed by fellowship and our worship service at 10:15. And I just want to share something with you. As I sat in a meeting about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Sunday school and children's church, and I witnessed something that made me very proud to be part of the leadership team here. You see, just by looking around, you can see that we're not the biggest church. You can see that our numbers aren't really big. But we try to offer enough studies, women's group, men's group, Sunday school, children's church, family game nights, outings. We try to offer enough of those as we have leaders to help out with. So what I witnessed at this particular meeting is Nikki Z was looking for volunteers for Sunday school. And as we were planning, we had an overwhelming response from the deacons to volunteer to teach in one area or another. And my thoughts were, These people are, in some cases, they're busy serving most every Sunday. Not to mention working full-time jobs, raising a family, or just busy with what life throws at you. People who are meeting at least once a week for one ministry or another for a meeting. You know what I didn't witness? I didn't witness anyone looking for a reason not to volunteer or justifying why they cannot do this. It was just God's church calling for help. The cause and the effect was people answering that call. And trust me, I know as much as the next person that life can get busy. And I know life can throw things at you that you never expected for would happen. My family has 12 plus months of one trial or another that we're in the midst of. Things change, people change, and the world changes. However, we serve an unchanging God who first loved us. And he's shown this love for us for our sake, time and time again. The greatest sacrifice made upon the cross so that we might become his righteousness. That's more than enough. Some of you have heard me say, you need to get out of the boat and get your feet wet. This kind of comes off of Matthew chapter 14. The disciples were in a boat without Jesus. And the boat was in the midst of a storm, getting tossed around on the waves. And they were afraid. And about this time, they saw Jesus walking on the water. Not sure if it was Jesus or a ghost that they were seeing, they became more afraid. And Jesus, sensing their fear, said to them, "Take courage. Do not be afraid." Peter said to Jesus, "If it is really you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Jesus is saying that to each and every one of us here today. Come, get out of the boat, and serve me. Do not be afraid to get your feet wet. And he's saying, have faith in me, and I will work through you. Church, in 2 weeks we have an opportunity to serve God in loving the city of Portage in our annual harvest party. This has been a huge success in the past, with many seeds planted and people coming to know Christ through this event. Some of the people who show up have never even heard of Jesus. I had a kid ask me that last year, "Who is God?" I'm sitting over there playing music, and he come up and said, "Who's God?" And I got the opportunity to share. I mean, he was a 10-year-old kid. He's never even heard of Jesus. We have people in Portage. We don't have to travel all the way across the world. We have people in Portage. I'm not saying don't travel across the world. I'm saying our mission field is right here. Excuse me for a second. For some people who show up, they may have never even heard of Jesus. And for some, this may be one of the few times that they will feel love this year. The seed of God's love planted this day may open up some ears to hear and some eyes to see. And soon, these people may be the ones sharing their testimony and telling people what God has done for them. We'll have games, face painting, crafts, food, music, prizes. I'm sure I forgot some stuff, but we need your help. There's a sign-up sheet going around with several openings on there. And let me tell you, if you're even thinking about it, if you're on the fence about it, get down off that fence, put your name on that piece of paper, and God will help you and show you how he can use you to serve others. Just show up. You get a chance to see God in action. I also like to point out that we have many opportunities to serve within the walls of the River of Life Church. Most importantly, right now, Sunday school, and children's church. There are several openings that need to be filled, and it's a chance to love on the children of River of Life Church. So see Nikki Z if you're thinking about serving in this ministry. You see, church, the mission field is all around us, and the need is great, and becoming even greater every day as the world becomes a darker place, as truth is traded for acceptance. The world accepts that the things of this world should define and change who God is and who we are to be in Him. And that's wrong. We need to hold fast to the truth, share the gospel, love as He loved us. Jesus says in John 14, chapter 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Through who? Things of this world? No. Only through Him. And who is He? He is the way to live, He is the truth to learn, and He is the life to follow. Church, we all know this, but others need to know this. And this is our charge to teach, and it's our charge to serve. Allow yourselves to be used and serve Him for His glory, and make what He has done for you enough. A sustaining strength in a world that needs to know Him. Amen.